What you see on the screen here is my absolute least favorite thing in existence. I hate stoplights. Every time I pull up to one, I'm stuck behind some person that doesn't go when it turns green. And you start counting the seconds, and you can see that they're looking down, or worse yet, you see they're on their phone, and they're not going at the stoplight. There was this time out by Wolforth, I believe it was at Upland and the Marcia Sharp Freeway. I pull up on the access road to a red light. There's somebody in front of me. The light turns green, and me, not wanting to be a jerk, don't honk at the person, even though I'd like to have. The light then turns yellow and red, and we don't get through. We miss the entire cycle. Oh, my word, I was so upset, I can't even. I just hate stoplights. But, you know, truthfully, the problem is I don't like to wait on anything. I don't like to wait 3.5 minutes for Easy Mac in the microwave. I don't like to wait on a slow coffee pot. I just don't like to wait on things. You know, the truth of the matter is society as a whole is oriented toward instant gratification. We have fast food. We have drive-through everything. We want the fastest download speeds. And even our money is oriented toward us getting it right now. So society in general is impatient. I remember back in college, even in the late 90s, they referred to this in sociology as the McDonaldization of society. We had become a society that is impatient and wants it right now. But important things, big things often take time, and sometimes even years. It takes time to become a good athlete. It takes time to become a good musician. It takes time to earn a degree. It takes time to save enough money to make a down payment on a home. And it takes time to grasp a deep knowledge of the Word of God. Matter of fact, I'll bet if you ask someone advanced in years around here, they would tell you they are still gaining a deeper knowledge of the Word of God. Some things just take time. And as a general rule, many of us do not like that. So the natural tendency is to just eventually give up. And I know I can get that way about things pretty easily. But there are just significant things in life that take time and they require waiting and patience, especially things that are related to the promises of God. Today we're going to look at a character in Joshua chapter 14, if you want to be turning there, who I believe can help us with this struggle. And his name is Caleb. And Caleb, as we're introduced to them, he waited 45 years to finally obtain a land that God had promised him back when he was only about 40 years old. Let's read, beginning in Joshua 14, about verse 6 beginning here, and we'll read down through the first part of verse 12. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land and brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, though, my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore to me on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.' Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time the Lord spoke the word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old today, and I am still strong today as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going in and coming out. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke to me on that day. Can you imagine waiting 45 years for something like that? We've already established that I can't even wait on a stoplight. So obviously Caleb's ability to not give up on this speaks to me. 45 years. You know, I might have been able to hold on for a year or two, but after a while I'd be thinking, there's got to be a simpler place for me to go. There's got to be an easier land. This one just isn't going to happen. I'd be starting to question some things by this point. And these weren't easy years either. It'd be one thing if all he was doing was waiting, but these were not easy years. And what makes it even worse is Joshua and Caleb were ready to take this land 45 years before this. They were part of that group of spies that went in to check out the land, knowing that God had promised it to them. And when they return and report to Moses, they both looked at him and said, we should by all means go, for God has given this into our hands. But the other 10 chickened out. And so God makes them pay with 40 years of wilderness wandering. Imagine how Caleb would have felt in this moment. Just think about that. He goes in. He knew that God had guaranteed victory, and yet he was stuck for 40 years watching every one of his generation die off in the wilderness. And finally, after 40 years is complete, he's now 80. So they've had the 40 years in the wilderness. He's now 80, and so what do they do again? They send more spies in. But this time it's only 2. Can you imagine what Caleb said? Here's what I'd be thinking at this point. I've been waiting 40 years. The first round of spies didn't go so well. And so here 2 are going in now, and if I were Caleb, I'd be thinking, oh, here we go again. We're relying on spies. But they went in and they returned this time with a different message. They came back this time with a message of trust in God to give the inhabitants the land, or to give the land to the Israelites. But it still wasn't a gimme. God promised it, but they to take this land, they went up against enemies that were bigger and stronger than they were. Hello, Jericho. But God was the one leading, and they ultimately took this land. And Caleb never lost sight of this. And he never lost sight of what God had promised all the way back in the book of Numbers. In Numbers 14, that's where Caleb first gets this promise of God directly to him. He said, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he has entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. So Caleb, 45 years later, he is remembering this. So we're 45 years after this in Joshua. But can you imagine waiting that long, especially knowing that your untrusting colleagues, had it not been for them, you could have been there 40 years sooner. But he patiently waited, and he never lost sight of the promise that God made to him. Well, now in Joshua 14, Caleb's ready to go claim it. He's ready to go claim the land. He's 85. He is as healthy as he was at age 40. His faith in God is so strong that he approaches this as if it has already happened. Now, bear in mind, as this 85-year-old guy is asking this, this isn't just any land. This is the very land that terrified the spies 45 years before this. The Anakim are there, and they're supposedly descended from the Nephilim, which were the giants that terrified these people when they went in there. Look at again at verse 12 in Joshua 14, and he says this. When he says, "Give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So an 85-year-old guy is going up against the biggest and strongest inhabitants of the promised land and goes to Joshua and says, "Give me this hill country." So not only are they extra big and extra strong, they even have the high ground. An 85-year-old Caleb says, "Let me go get it." That's an ambitious request. That's one of those dangerous prayers like Trey spoke about last week. I mean, this is an ambitious thing that this guy's going to do. So how in the world did he do it? I mean, after all this time, and he hasn't given up on it. How? One of the best ways to learn from Scripture is to ask questions of the text. We talk about that a lot in here. When we talk about how to study the Bible, we talk about asking questions of the text. The more you ask, the more you're going to learn. So as you're reading, ask questions. So what I thought we would do this morning is just simply ask Caleb how he did this, because he's answering for us right here in Joshua. So let's ask him. "Caleb, what made you so confident that you could go take this land?" "Well, I remembered God's promise to me. He said 45 years ago that the land was going to be mine. And I knew at the time that we could take it, and I never forgot what God said." "Well, that was a long time ago, Caleb. I mean, everyone your age died off. And you spent 40 years stuck in this state of aimless wandering. I mean, did you ever want to throw in the towel or just give up? Or maybe did you even ever think, this just isn't worth it?" "No, I followed the Lord fully. I saw what the Lord did in Egypt. I saw how he decimated every Egyptian god right before our very eyes. How could I forget that? I mean, he has continually proven himself faithful to us over and over again, and I knew that when God said he would do it, that he would do it. So I stuck with him through thick and thin." Well, you know, Caleb, it's no secret that you're not a young man anymore. How did you do all this at your age? "Well, I kept myself strong. And with my patience and trust in God, he has kept me strong and he's prepared me for this moment. I never stopped serving him and I don't want to stop serving him now." Well, Caleb, you've accomplished a lot. You've accomplished something very few people ever would have thought possible. If you were to credit one thing that made this campaign successful, what would you say that it was? "I worked with God and his will. And he was ultimately with me because of that. And he said that I would take this land, and I trusted that he would help me go get it, and he did." That's exactly what he did. Well, Caleb, that's impressive. You are you're an inspiration to all of us to be patient with God's promises, to stay with him, because he certainly didn't let you down. What we see here is that Caleb is showing us how to stay focused on what God promised and how to confidently claim our inheritance. He's showing us how to wait. And he's showing us how to claim something that God has promised the right way. So let's look at the things here that Caleb told us so that we can be inspired to approach the promises of God to us the same way that he did. The first thing we notice from Caleb is that he never lost sight of the promises of God. And we need to take that advice too. We have been promised an inheritance from God. But before we go too far, there's one thing that we need to make sure we're clear on, or we'll lose sight of it right away. And that is some things that God didn't promise. There are things that God promised and things that God didn't. And some things that we read in Scripture have been turned into false promises. One of those being, case in point, God will not give you more than you can handle. I'm sure you've heard people say that. Maybe perhaps you've even thought that. That isn't what God said. God said you would not be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. But God didn't say he wouldn't give you more than you could handle. If that were the case, we wouldn't die. But there are a lot of people I know, very faithful Christians, that were given something and it killed them. God may not have tempted them beyond what they were able, but he certainly gave them a lot to handle materially and physically, which I think is where we have to make the distinction there with things. Another thing God did not promise is unconditional happiness and prosperity. That is not something that God promised. God does want us to find the joy in everything, including our trials. We see that in the book of James. So when we get things in the right perspective, those other things will tend to fall into place. What God did promise you was an eternal inheritance with him. And there is the key. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, the Hebrew writer tells us, "For this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant, for since the death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." There it is. Well, Mr. Hebrew writer, what is that eternal inheritance? We can ask him, and he tells us. Look at down in verse 27 beginning. "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment, so Christ also, having been offered to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, for those who eagerly await him." Here is what God is concerned with in your life right now. He is concerned with your eternal destiny. God wants you to be with him for all eternity. That's the big promise of God that we're waiting on. So stay focused on that promise. That's the one that should guide us. Now, there's all kinds of stuff that challenges us with this promise. We struggle to trust this. That's a common issue here. And why do we struggle to trust it? Because we haven't actually seen it with our own two eyes. It's sometimes difficult to trust things that we don't see. Waiting is another challenge. We've already determined that we don't like to wait, but we have to learn how. And this is where Caleb helps us today. He shows us how to wait. Valuable things are always worth the wait. Another challenge is giants. Caleb went up against a stronghold that occupied the high ground. And with God on his side, he defeated it. Now, I have no idea what giants you may be facing in your life right now. It may be something devastating with a family member. It may be something that you're facing. It could be absolutely anything. Now, you have no idea what the physical outcome of that may be. But if you're focused on the promise of God that's eternal, in the end, you win. No matter what. No matter what happens, you win. Because of that promise. So my encouragement to you when you're facing a giant is all the more so then, keep that eternal perspective in mind. No matter what is thrown your way, never lose sight of that. Never lose sight of what God has said. Don't let time span defeat you. Don't let that kill your trust. Don't let some giant that you're facing take that away from you. Because in the end, once again, you win. The second thing we see with Caleb, and this is perhaps the biggest one we see in the text, because it's repeated four different times, he followed the Lord fully. Well, what does it mean to follow the Lord fully? What is he getting at when he says this? It does not equate perfection. It is not saying that Caleb was perfect. It means that Caleb gave God his whole heart. Every last bit of it. Not 70% of it, not 90% of it, not, well, you know, I follow the Lord better than most people, but I still like to have my fun. It isn't that. No, following the Lord fully means that every part of your life belongs to God. Whatever you're doing, you are doing it to the glory of God. That's what it means to follow Him fully. Following Him fully is not an obedience checklist where once we've checked off the necessities, we're good to go and we can move on to something else. That's not what this means. It is a lifestyle that desires a relationship and desires service to God. And Caleb served God with his whole heart for his whole life. How do we do this? That's the question. Every time I hear something like this, I always think that. I don't know about you. I think, well, that's great, Matt, but I get that. Okay, God needs all of my heart. How? How do I give God all of my heart? Couple of things very quickly. When you pray, because that's how we're communicating to God, just simply open up with God. And if you don't know what else to say to God, say, God, I want to open my heart to you, and I just want to know what you want me to do for you. That's the best thing you can do right there. And then when you open this to study, which I hope you do throughout the week, always approach it this way. Every time you read Scripture, ask one question. Say, because I believe this to be true, what in my life has to change? You ask God what you want from Him, and then you ask this right here, every time you read it, what in my life has to change? It'll beat you up. I read a verse like Philippians 2:14, says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. And then I ask the text, Lord, what in my life has to change? Well, we're not going to get into that one. See how quickly that can happen when we read the text? It talks to us. It tells us what we need to do to give our life over to God, and it tells us how to do it. Don't ever stop doing this. In other words, like the third thing we learned from Caleb, don't retire from your service to God. Why is the Bible telling us that Caleb is 85 years old? It's telling us that because it is important for us to know. That means it's here for us to learn something. You know as well as I do, out of all the things in 1,500 years, there's what the Holy Spirit chose to give us. He didn't waste real estate on the pages. So the fact that he's telling us that Caleb is 85 means it's really important. And the thing that I see with that, retirement is not a word that should be associated with our service to God. Even Paul said, the older teach the younger, did he not, in Titus chapter 2. We don't retire from our walk with Jesus. We don't retire from exercising our giftedness. we don't retire from following the Lord fully. Caleb described himself as just as strong as he was at age 40. And that wouldn't have been possible without staying active. That's how we stay healthy physically. It's the same way spiritually. We have to stay active. So that's the challenge for us. Stay active spiritually. If you used to do something, just an example, if you used to do something like teach children's classes or lead a small group or teach an adult class or insert anything in there that you used to do and you haven't done it in a while, pick it up again. Do it again. It will exercise your spiritual body and it will reinvigorate your spiritual health. I challenge you to try that. Never stop serving. Never stop learning and growing in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus. We were created for this. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created to serve God. Finally, number four, remember that victory is only possible with God's leadership. As strong as Caleb was, he knew that obtaining this land was only possible with God. God defeated Jericho, Caleb knew it. God defeated Ai, Caleb knew it. God made the sun stand still at Gibeon, and Caleb remembered this, and probably a whole host of others. So he knew that God would be the one to ultimately be at the front of his campaign against the Anakim. Caleb's part was to trust God, to never give up and follow him fully. It is God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Our part is to trust God, don't give up on him in the face of challenges, and follow him fully. So don't attempt to do it on your own. And don't try to do things God wouldn't want you to do. At the end of 14 and verse 12 in Joshua, we see that Caleb did it as the Lord had spoken. So he didn't try to do something God didn't want him to do already. And we need to be the same way. Because if God can be for us, who can be against us? And that's what in Romans 8:31, that's what he's getting at when he said that. If we've got God on our side, if we're doing things that God wants us to do, we can't go wrong. Because no matter what happens on this side of the grave, we win in the end, no matter what happens. You may be like me and hate waiting on things, but you know, sometimes we just have to wait on God. We live in this culture of instant gratification, but it just doesn't always work out that way with God. Sometimes we just have to wait. Take this home with you and think about this one as we close out this morning. Our willingness to wait reveals the value we place on that which we're waiting for. Think about that one and let that sink in a little bit this week. Stay focused on God's promises and don't be clouded by some false promise. Give God 100% of your heart and give him all of your service. And never forget that success is only possible if you're willing to wait on God and let him guide you through whatever you're facing. We're about to sing a song of invitation. If you're struggling with this, if you're struggling to be patient with God, let us pray with you today. Perhaps you've never made that initial step to entrust Jesus with your life so that you can claim God's promised inheritance. Boy, today is the day. Don't let that go by. You can confess him as Lord. You can repent of your sins, and you can put him on in baptism. If you need help with anything this morning, come join us as we stand and as we sing.